some guy said to me, Mark, we would like you to join our athletics team. Our target for you is to run the 100 meters in 9.9. Everyone would start thinking that I can run. I can't. I don't think I could do the 100 in 20 seconds.
Right.
No one's going, WTF.
Mark, good morning. How are you this bright and cheerful autumn morning? Morning?
Well, autumn morting. No, Tim. Yeah, that is a good description because it's actually winter. So autumn has morted. Okay. So I'll go with that.
All right.
Something else that the debates was finished on is the sort of Trump-Ramaphosa Washington, D.C. meeting. But I read with some interest over the weekend the commentary delivered, if you like, a her version of events by a minister in the presidency, Kumbutso Ntshavheni. Who gave her view, I guess, from an ANC perspective, what happened there. But she ended off by a comment which said, on a lighter note, I learned more about golf at that dinner than in all the years I boasted a 15 handicap.
Right.
So you know what you have to admire about our ministers is how much time they find to do other things.
Okay? Yes.
Because it's not trivial
right.
to have a 15 handicap. And I can tell you for free that no one tells fibs about their handicap, mate, because you can look it up and find it out. Anyway, welcome back to the team. There's so many views on it. Do you have a closing view on that meeting?
Yes, I've got several. First of all, the first thing is the whole meeting has been followed by this absolute outpouring of fact-checking. Everybody is fact-checking. There's fact-checking this and there's fact-checking of that. When I listen to the fact-checking, the first thing I think is, who's fact-checking this fact-checker? Just to take one little example.
The chicken plucker and the plucker chicken. Let's not go there.
So the policeman's minister, Senzo Nchunu, he went on television to talk about the issue about the killing of farmers, right? And he mentioned somewhat triumphantly, but delivered in this very straightforward kind of way, that actually in this last quarter, there was one farmer was killed, perhaps two. Because there was one who's guilty that might be in the next time. The fact is that in every previous quarter for the last 10 years, around about 25 farmers have been killed. It's fine to mention, it's great that the number has dropped to such a small number, but at the same time, it is disturbing that he didn't mention that this is a problem and we shouldn't run away from it.
Yeah, it is a problem which must be seen in context. I've got to give my kind of view on that. But listen, I think that... I think violent crime is the catch-all for all of these things. And I'm sure if we did our homework enough to isolate various groups, we'd be able to describe that particular group differently. My view, personally, is the use of the word genocide is a little inflammatory in this case. And I'm not for one minute belittling the trauma and drama and angst of the farmers in South Africa and their important role.
Right.
But yeah, so I think we've got to understand violent crime cuts through all of these dimensions, and that's the big time enemy.
No, no, exactly. And that's where I like the fact checking. I think the fact checking is useful in that, just to highlight the crime issue and how badly South Africa manages it.
I think what the meeting did do, though.
Yeah.
The meeting elevated various debates, a bit like the level of the water exposing all boats, or lifting all boats, should I say, to get it right. is that the debates are now on.
Right.
This debate about, is there an alternative to BEE? I think there's some, if we all figure it out responsibly, some intelligent results to come out of that. I see that Mulatsi in communications is now pushing for something of equivalence to maybe accommodate Starlink. That incurs, no doubt, the ire of Vodacom and MTN and all the others.
Right.
But, you know, what if, with the benefit of hindsight, we'd had BEE as a compulsory imposition, but we'd given it a limited life. We'd said it's 10 years or it's 20 or whatever the number is. And your time's up, chaps. Now, from now on, what we really want you to do is these other things which create employment, not transfer wealth.
Yes.
Okay. And here are these other things. Buy from South African suppliers at the risk of becoming too Trumpian in our attitude on this thing. Because all of these impositions on free trade are nothing more or less than that, and they all ultimately inhibit trade and investment. All. Tariffs, BEE codes, any regulatory imposition or non-market falsehood inhibits investment. And so I'm for finding another way. I'm for finding a way that achieves transformation and growth. And I'm sorry, BE doesn't do that anymore. Okay, so I'm for what comes out of Washington in the sense that these things are all on the table and they're internationally aware and these things will be discussed as limitations or barriers for entry.
Yeah.
So I think that's a plus.
No, yeah. Exactly. We do have to have a full-on reassessment of what Black economic empowerment looks like. Because there's, in the context of this little meeting, there's going to be a small concession to Mr. Elon Musk because we want to get that particular monkey off our back. But
who said that? Someone said that. Yeah.
Oh, what
I think it was the lady from Kusatu.
Yeah. But that's not actually solving the problem. The problem is much larger, even though it is highlighted by this particular situation. But the strange thing about the equity equivalents is that nobody really specifies what these equity equivalents actually are, you know, and how extensive they are and who they apply to and who they don't apply to. And these are the kind of...
Suddenly you're given the choice. You give the choice of giving away compulsorily a 30% shareholding or investing in local suppliers and growing your company. If there was some sort of economic equivalence, if you sat big picture as government and you said, what could deliver the best net result for transformation and growth? It would not be BE. And so let's make some rules or at least guidelines where you can swap out that condition for another. It's got to be right. And I'm sure you could gather 10 people around the table and get to an accord as to what the right answers are. Other than who you won't gather around the table are those who are benefiting quite bluntly from BE. And there are two cases I want to mention. The first one is I see there's a debacle about the Shell sale, the petroleum company in South Africa. And what's the fight? The fight is between two empowerment consortiums, not about their expertise, not about their what they can bring to the party, but about who gets the tick box.
Okay? Right.
And I think that's manifest nonsense, and it's glaring in our face. And give me another 2 minutes on this because I'm wuss about it this morning, man. I read that PRASA has got a 3-year, 7.5 billion rand, that's 2.5 billion rand a year, contract to refurbish its trains.
Right.
The first lot that have been refurbished, and I've got to put that in inverted commas, this I read in News 24, have been sent back to the depot from whence they came to sit there idle. Now, this is so manifestly just an excuse to transfer money to the people who won the tender.
Yeah.
And then behind it all, and this is another criminal offence in my view, there's a target that Gaza has said to transport 186 million people by trains in 2027. That's in a year and a half from now.
Right.
Now, here's the real issue, Tim, is the public are being bullshitted because they don't know better. And they get these lines onto which they can cling to justify their support for what is manifestly unprovable, if not absurd.
Yes.
I've had enough of it.
No. It's extraordinary how many targets are set in South Africa and are never reached, and there are no consequences for not reaching them. I've always said it's important to set a target, right? What I didn't appreciate sufficiently is the second half of that situation, which is what happens when you don't meet it. I think things happen so fast in South Africa that people forget that the targets have been set and not met. It's just too exhausting to go back and check all of the targets that people spoke about and didn't meet. And nothing happened as a consequence of, we've got into this habit of setting a target, not meeting it, not doing anything about it, setting another target, not meeting it. It's a cycle of dishonesty in some ways.
Yeah, but it is blatant dishonesty. And we started shrugging our shoulders. Okay. We started saying, it's another tenderpreneur thing, or it's another enrichment scheme, or it's another. We've become used to it.
Yes.
And then we have a long fight about VAT, or where's the fight about the misappropriation of funds in the name of transformation, but which isn't?
Yes.
Okay, that's the fight. That's where the real money is. That's got a T in it. That's the trillion discussion, which we need to have sooner or later. Otherwise, it's not going to end well. I'm just full of cheerfulness. You know, I heard now today, although this has got a seed of hope embedded in it, is that there's now going to be more water problems in Gauteng, but it's because of maintenance. Now, I can bear with that.
Okay? Right.
We've had a lot of it recently, is that they're shutting a place down or a portion of the city down so that they can fix it. Okay, that's valid and it's programmed and it's intentional. And so if we had more of that attitude where we said, guys, we're shutting down this tender system. And right. Yeah, it's going to put everything on hold for a while, but we're designing something differently. And or we're fixing something. We need to fix stuff,
right?
Not promise stuff. If some guy said to me, Mark, we would like you to join our athletics team. Our target for you is to run the 100 meters in 9.9. Everyone would start thinking that I can run. I can't. Okay. I don't think I could do the 100 in 20 seconds now with I've got a buggered up knee.
Right.
Okay. But, and my kids would phone me and go, Dad, seriously? You know what? And we don't do that anymore.
Right.
No one's going, WTF.
There is.
Why are we not questioning it? Because why? Why do we not question it? Why do we just report it?
There's a very interesting debate for me going on in Cape Town. The DA mayor of Cape Town is trying to defend a rates increase, which could be anything from between 10 and 20%, right? And his justification for doing this is that there's nothing that doesn't need maintenance in Cape Town. So obviously now there's now a kind of fight back from ratepayers. And it is very complicated because property values have increased so much in Cape Town that paying your rates according to the value of your property is now becoming like really crazy. For some people who don't earn a lot of money, all of a sudden, through just enormous good fortune, this very small house in Newlands is now worth $3 million. And they're expected to pay kind of rates at that rate. It's rather a strange situation.
In a sense, that should then be self-solving. Because they should be collecting higher and higher income in the city for doing nothing more. Okay, and so the people who are benefiting from the capital gain in their houses, if you will, are by default paying for it during the rates. So I don't know why you then have to compound that by increasing the rates. But I haven't done the sums, and I can't really.
No, it's a sort of cash flow problem. If you're a sort of like a kind of oldish persons in Cape Town, you're suddenly sitting on a house worth 3 million rand and you're expected to pay rates of 10,000 bucks a month.
Yeah, all these anomalies reach tipping points. Eh? At some point, the people in Cape Town will sell the house. Okay. And at some point, the cycle will turn because you've got like, sorry, this thing was worth one. It's now worth three. I'm going to cap it and rent for a year until it's worth 1.5 again. So these things, I'd prefer to leave it to the free market, I guess is what I'm saying, because it does solve all things eventually.
You know what it comes down to? It comes down to trust. Do you trust the Cape Town municipality to actually use the money to do the upgrades that they are talking about, or the Johannesburg municipality, or whatever?
More so than a lot of other municipalities.
No, exactly. That's right. Yeah. I would say, okay, if I can see the consequence of the upgrades, you know, you were talking about PRASA earlier. One good thing that PRASA has done, it's re-established the Cape Town Metro train system, which is very important. It's a very important...
There's a form of transformative economics. It costs you 9 rand to get from Cape Town to Kalk Bay. Okay, 9 rand. Right. Okay, it stops at every station, but the trains are clean and secure. I've been there, okay? And so then you go, okay, I see now they're lowering the price of the Gautrain because they need that thing to be start paying for itself and so on. All of these things have... Right. This thing called supply and demand, which determines price in an open market system, is not magic, man. It's been there before. And why don't we let it work for us by changing the dynamics other than through imposition of...
You're talking about economics.
Silly of me to raise it in this context. I agree. I'm going completely off-piste here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Listen, can I ask you something about an international question? What do you make of the fact that the US has now lost its AAA rating by the three top rating agencies? Is this worrying to you or not? This is the largest economy in the world, and it's now no longer AAA rated by all three of the major rating agencies.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I'll tell you why I think it's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's also, in my view, and I've spoken about it before, so it's not new, the first consequence of the tariff war. Okay, so here you're sitting, and let's not bring too much economics into this thing, otherwise no one will listen. Yeah. So here you're sitting, and you've got a trade deficit in goods, okay?
Right.
Because everyone else in the world makes them cheaper, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Right.
But you've got a trade surplus in services, and services have got a much higher price earnings multiple than goods, if you were. There's a much higher margin because the input cost, anyway. And the other reason why you should run a deficit in goods is because you've got the go-to currency, okay, right, which inflates the dollar. Okay. And so you're sitting above this game and you're going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to mess with it. Okay. So people right. go, okay, you want to impose, quotes, unfair tariffs on our goods flow, then we're going to start dissing the dollar. Okay.
Right.
How can you have the best of both worlds? How can you penalize us for our strength, which is to make iPods cheaper than everyone else does? I'm not going to go into the underlying truths or issues around that. But you're penalizing that for us, and yet you want us to keep giving you credit for the default currency of the world, not the default, the currency of the world. It's not going to sustain. The retribution for Trump's irresponsible interventions is going to be severe, and it's going to be a revenge best served cold. In 3 years' time, the West is going to get a clap, a proper clap.
It just continues because now Trump has threatened 50% tariffs on goods from the EU, and then it was definitely going to happen at the beginning of July. Now it's being shifted back again. It's just crazy. If you are an importer or an exporter, how do you manage this? It's just...
You know, the way the world works, the way trade works, is you go to your positions of strength, and then you can trade it with other people's positions of strength. You don't try and kill each other. You try and strengthen yourself, allow them to strengthen their competitive advantages, and you trade at the lowest common price. Okay, and it's not
it's
difficult
more,
stuff.
More economics.
I'm sorry. I've lost it. I mean, any minute now, I'll start reverting to truth, and then. You're talking about trends and things changing. I saw the most astonishing credit, I think it was in the Sunday Times, there was a graphic of what's happening with kidnapping. Kidnappings scare the hell out of all of us, I think. So kidnappings over the last decade have tripled in South Africa.
There is.
Okay.
There is.
But let me bring it a bit closer. They've doubled over the last 3 years. There are now reportedly approaching 20,000, 17,000 kidnappings a year. There used to be like 5.
Right.
Now, what do you do? That is not just robbery. That is robbery at a higher level and threat. What do you do when you get a call to say, we've got your mate or your father or your wife or whoever it is might be, and we want all your money?
No. You know what I think it is? It's a consequence of the improvements in security technology, partly. Because it's almost impossible now to steal a telephone or a cell phone because you could track them. You can track cars. You can track electronic goods. You can track televisions. Gradually, the avenues for the lightweight thief have been closing down. The only option in this situation is to ramp up into a higher. And this is what's been happening in South America for a long time. And the difference is the one area where we have a lower crime rate, one specific crime where we have a lower crime than South America is in kidnapping. And it is coming. It's very worrying.
But you say this tracking, it was fascinating. I was getting a lift in a sort of a VIP transport thing to an art thing this weekend in Joburg. And it was in a fancy car, and I was in a fancy SUV. And I was like, oh, I love this car. Can we just take the car instead of giving me a lift home? And the guy said, yeah, you can, but you won't get more than 6 kilometers. So I said,
oh, really?
How's that? He said, this thing is programmed, okay, so that if it travels more than 6 kilometers out of this given route, it was a transfer service, okay? So it went from one place to another and then back again and just transferred people because there was no parking at the art fair. And so he says, and if it goes outside that zone, it's off. Have a nice day, okay? But that's how it should be. You make it not worth it. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim, you must have some bright new stuff to talk about, man. Come on, give me something to cling on to.
Well, I mean, I
give me
like
a target, an unreachable, I don't care. Give me a target.
Let's have this as a target. Let's start just not bothering with the fact checking, just getting the facts right in the first place. How would that be as a target?
From your lips. No, exactly. There's one caveat to that.
Okay.
Is do you know the facts? Do you even know the facts?
Okay. Yes.
It seems to me when I listen to some of this that the people expounding these things can't know the facts and utter yes. their...
And it's across the board, right? It is amazingly an all-party, all-national...
Everyone's.
National.
No exceptions.
I think that's where... The truth is now, it's more like my truth. In order to describe my truth, what I do is I just say it louder. It's the process of speaking to somebody in a foreign country if they don't understand the talk loud. All right, let's have that as a target for ourselves for the next week. Let's go to
next week. I want to talk about education. Next week, I want to talk about what's happening at Harvard, what's happening here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What is the rule? What is the guideline for an effective education system? That's a challenge.
All right.
Okay.
Cool, Bob. Good week, people. Thanks very much. Good week, everybody. Cheers.